Thank you so much. I'm really pleased to be speaking to you today, mostly about actually the Big CZ portal, and I'll explain what that is in a moment, a little less about the biogeography of soil microorganisms, unfortunately. But when I talk about the Big CZ portal, I'm talking about CZ in terms of the critical zone. So the critical zone is a new name for an old idea. It is trying to define the entire space where biology and geology and hydrology interact. It's a way of understanding, it's a perspective on the world that one may or may not share. There's been a big push from the National Science Foundation, particularly in the geo field, to look at things from the perspective of the critical zone. So I'll take a few moments and explain what that is. So it's a heterogeneous near-surface environment in which complex interactions involving rock, soil, water, air, and living organisms regulate the natural habitat and determine the availability of life-sustaining resources. So what the heck does that actually mean? This is an image from the CZO website, CZO being Critical Zone Observatory, and I'll explain what that is in a moment, where in this image, they're kind of showing that it includes air, all organisms, which are reduced to just one little line in here, soil, water, rock, everything that connects. So everything from the lower atmosphere all the way down to the depths of the lowest groundwater, everything that's biologically available, potentially, and active in the system. So a bit of a historical perspective, the Critical Zone Observatory Network was started over 5 years ago, and it wasn't a network at that time. It was funding to a few select locations to begin Critical Zone Observatories. And the first CZOs, which is how I'm going to refer to these from now on, focused only on geosciences. So the interactions of life within the soil, the groundwater, the lithology, were all considered metadata to these huge environmental data sets that were being collected. There's multiple eddy covariance towers in many of these locations. There's many different types of data being collected. There's lots of stream sensors, lots of understanding of groundwater in these locations. But recently, the perspective has changed on all sides of this issue. And so we being everyone who studies the critical zone, which I think all of you are probably in that category, whether or not you associate yourself that way, realize that understanding biological, particularly microbial dynamics in the CZOs is actually key to understanding what we call critical zone processes, or the transformations of energy and matter from life to non-living, you know, between abiotic and biotic parts of the system. I'm just throwing up a couple of websites throughout this talk so you can get some more information about what I'm talking about. So this is thecriticalzone.org is sort of the main website to check out. So environmental microbiologists, of which many of you probably identify as, have long been recording environmental metadata when collecting samples for sequencing analysis. Matching and analyzing the environmental components of the research that we're performing and the metagenomic data sets that we've been collecting and analyzing has been really difficult, and there's been no standardization of these approaches because the environmental fields and the biological fields, particularly metagenomic or microbial community analysis fields, have been pretty disparate in how they approach data. So there's this new project funded by the NSF called Big CZ SSI. In this case, it says Sustainable Scientific, Software Integration. It's actually a grant. It's for Sustainable Software Innovation, SSI either way. And it is a community-driven software system. And the big comes from bio and geoscience, so B-I-G. And it's a way that we hope people will start to bridge the gap between the biological and the geological data that are being collected. It contains three different main components. So the first one is the Big CZ portal web application, which is going to be just a really fast web-based but also map-based discovery portal, so you can see data, you can find out where it is. If you want to start a project in a particular location and you have GPS coordinates, that's all it will take to find out what else has been done in that location. Then there's the Big CZ Toolbox, which is actually going to be a more advanced tool for scientists who want to work more directly with that data. So it'll be something you can download to your desktop computer. You can use it to access web-based data, but also to analyze data that you already have in the context of other data that exists that's been shared. Part of this, you got to realize that a lot of, almost all federally funded data is going to have to be made public within a few short years after it's funded very soon. So there, in theory, is going to be a lot of data in this type of a portal, and this is the one of the tools that NSF is developing in order to make it accessible to the public that wants it, which is namely us in this room. The Big CZ Central software stack I'll talk less about. It's just a way to bridge the different types of data systems, and I'll talk about what those mean in a moment. So Big CZ Portal, this is the one that I think most people will interact with. It's web-based integration. I'll show you an example in just a moment of what this could look like, and visualization environment for the joint analysis of all different types of data so you can understand cross-scale processes in the critical zone. We want it to be intuitive and high performance and map-based. Those are sort of the main things that are the take-home. It's something like Google Earth, where you can open it up, look at what other data exists, actually see the data in real time if the sensors are recording data in real time. The toolbox will be a little bit more powerful. It'll be on your desktop, be pretty straightforward to learn. We're going to have workshops for people to learn how to use this toolbox once it's been fully developed. And it'll allow you to access and also use multiple data types together, including these very different kinds of data, geoscience and metagenomic data or community analysis data for the same location or nearby locations. Be able to see time series. And then there's CZ Central, again, not as relevant to this group, but just it's the central cloud-based software stack that'll allow us to bridge different data systems so that we can look at, let's say, metagenomic or metatranscriptomic data with environmental data that co-occur, whether co-collected or collected by completely different researchers in the same location and similar timescales. So I want to explain to you the compatibility with metagenomics data. The project team includes the developers of MGRAST, some of the developers of MGRAST, KBase, and the Earth Microbiome Project, which are, you know, three of these really powerful databases that are being created. MGRAST and KBase are also, beyond just being databases, they're actually, they include a lot of tools for data analysis. We're creating cross standards between those existing and developing databases and tools so that they'll be able to be integrated with the environmental and geological data analysis that's vital to critical zone research. So this is an example of what this will look like. This is the one site for which it's fully developed at this point. It is not the site that I'm going to talk more about. This is the Christina River Basin, and this is the current state of the data visualization portal, which you can actually access online. I can give you that website if you're interested. So I want to draw your attention. Are there any pointers? Just the mouse. Okay. There it is. So I want to draw your attention to each of these blue lines, the squiggles. These represent actual waterways because this particular Critical Zone Observatory is very focused on the river basin that it exists in, and so the water is the primary driver of the research that's going on. So you see really detailed descriptions of the different waterways. There's also individual data points. So if you click on one of these data points, it's a particular sensor, and this sensor is reporting live data. So you can see I created this snapshot on October 30th, and so it's got the most relevant data point there, and you can manipulate the data within the portal directly. Now, this doesn't exist yet, for metagenomic or community analysis of microbial community data, but this is what we're developing right now, and so this talk, I'm essentially making it serve as a heads up to watch out for this capability. It's coming in the next year, and I think it'll really revolutionize how we're going to be able to interact with environmental and metagenomic or community analysis data together. So now I want to talk a little bit about the site that I am focused on. So I'm focused on the Southern Sierra Critical Zone Observatory, which exists in a transect here, running from the Central Valley to the west up into the western Sierras, heading east and also heading upwards in elevation. And it includes four elevations, sites at four elevations, and these are described here. The highest elevation described here is at 2,700 meters. The lowest elevation is at 400 meters. And there's been, ever since April, soil collections for 16S analysis. Unfortunately, I do not have that data today to present, but we've been working on developing both the data and the data within this software system. So right now, what we have are representative locations within the same study system that I was just demonstrating. This is now in the web-based portal, and you can see, when you zoom in, one of these is a dust collector. That's something where we're catching the incoming dust and measuring the soil, I'm sorry, the microbial community of the dust and aligning that data with the soil microbial community in the same location. Each of these other sensors represents a static hydrological data collection point. And we're in the process of making all of these live, making it so that the data that's been collected can be actively accessed, shared, and worked with through this portal. So the goal really is data integration, and I know it seems, it's still a little bit far off. I'm not presenting a tool that's 100% ready to go, but I think it's important for people to pay attention to the different ways that all of our data analysis are developing, because there's currently very little standardization. There's currently almost no interaction between the way that geoscience data is both analyzed and also shared, and the way that our metagenomic or community analysis data is analyzed and shared. So we want to integrate the way that all these different resources of our natural environment are being analyzed to maximize the science that we can perform. So I want to acknowledge several NSF grants. There's the SSI grant that is developing the software, RAPID grant, that's actually where I'm developing my soil community analysis and dust microbial community analysis, and the NSF CZO grant that is the backbone of that particular location, and all of the CZOs come from NSF funding. As well as I want to acknowledge my collaborators on the right-hand side. I am not a computer scientist, and there's quite a number of computer scientists who are also domain scientists that I'm working with to develop this software, and my collaborators in the Southern Sierra CZO. Thank you, and are there any questions?
We have time about two or three questions.
Yeah.
So I have two questions. The first one is this being looked at at a regional scale, or do other plans to expand at a global level?
That's a great question. So currently, the way that the funding is structured, we're actually, the question was, is it just on a regional scale, or is it going to be expanded to a global scale? And the answer is that currently it's just being developed for the existing critical zone observatories, and sort of in an order that's random. You know, there's 10 observatories now, 5 that were older, 5 that are new. The older ones have more data, and so we're developing it currently for them first. Then we're going to bring in the newer ones. Then the next step is to just expand throughout the United States. There's a lot of other sites that have a pretty intensive data collection. Ameriflux Towers, the NEON data set is going to be enormous. We're going to integrate with them. We're already connecting with them. We're not totally sure what that's going to look like, but there's going to be a lot of crosstalk between them. And then eventually far beyond that, where we want it to be an application where you can go in with your, you know, GPS point, and there'll be very standardized methods for showing what kind of data it is and putting as much or as little of that data up as you choose in that particular scenario. And then other people can discover your data once it's been input by you. So we're going to eventually have it so that the scientists control how much coverage there is for the data in this program.
I guess you answered my second question. It was about, do you go out and invite people to upload their data, or is, anybody who's working in a particular zone can just...
So it's a great question. Whether are we going to go out, reach out to specific people and ask them to upload their data, or is it just anybody who's studying, you know, environmental microbiology or other critical zone processes that can upload their data? It's definitely everybody can once we're at that stage. We're not there yet, but we are trying to kind of put out the feelers to people so that you know what to look for, you know what's going to, what will exist, the infrastructure that will exist that you can build upon for your own research. And the way that we're not exactly sure how it's going to work, there may be a barrier to entry, like you have to upload some of your data in order to access other data. We haven't really decided those kinds of issues yet. Right now, we just want people to be interested. We just want people to get involved. There'll be workshops, like I said, starting next fall. The idea is just to develop the interaction between these different domains so that we can maximize the amount of research, and that can happen anywhere and for any scientist.
One more, time for one more question. I have a question for you.
Yes.
So, for people that have already been doing microbial community using the generational sequencing, how soon or what are the possibilities of you getting their data into your system?
So the question was for the people who have already been generating these data sets, what are the possibilities for bringing that data into the system? It depends what you've already done with your data. So if you've already worked with the Earth Microbiome Project, we're in discussions with them about bringing that data into our database. Already for the Earth Microbiome Project, you needed to include definitely GPS and quite a bit of other metadata, which we're trying to make our standards very streamlined between that system and our system. Then there's also like MDRAS and KBase, which are the DOE-based versions of you know, microbial databases, and we're going to be doing the exact same thing with them. Beyond that, if you individually on your computer have your data set, you'll be welcome to upload it and just be very clear about when it was collected and where, and any other metadata that you have. But otherwise, there's no magic bullet to just bring everything in all at once. It'll kind of be piecemeal, but we're trying to talk to the major players in microbial community data sets.
So is the plan for it to actually serve as a repository for the metagenomics?
It will not be a repository. Now that's a great question. It is not where you can put your data. It is where you can link your data so that it can be found. Right, so you'll still have to find a way to host your own data or work with one of the existing repositories that's willing to accept your data. But then we're going to work with those repositories so that this is connected with the EarthCube project. I didn't want to say that at the beginning because it scares people off because EarthCube's been around for a long time and nothing happened. But this is just one piece of a bigger puzzle of what EarthCube may end up being. Even if EarthCube itself doesn't become much, this will exist.